Good morning. Welcome to Deadly Days, Tales of Dark Fantasy. I'm your host, Joe Vandal. I translate these stories, and once a week, a new episode. This is episode 51. If you enjoy these stories, please give a like. Check out my bookstore, my online bookstore, vandalbooks.com. Vandal, B-A-N-D-E-L, band like a rock and roll band, E-L. And consider supporting me by a cup of coffee or becoming a patron on my Patreon page. If you go to my bookstore page, you get the links to everything that I'm doing. These stories come from various authors, various places. I've got a lot of translations projects going. Off the bat, this story today is from Hans Heinz Ewers Volume 1 that I did. I've got three volumes right now of Hans Heinz Ewers stories, and we're just finishing up the first book so far. So we've got a lot of stories by Hans Heinz Ewers. This one's The Curve. It was early, around 6 o'clock. The court ballrooms of the Imperial Palace in Vienna had emptied themselves. Only in the little Arabian room still squatted a few incorrigibles. In the front were two motley Japanese sitting on the carpet. Near them, a white perot and a toreador in brown and yellow velvet. They laughed and drank mocha out of small bowls. I sat in my white burnous with crossed legs on a soft pillow in the middle of the room. I was playing wall, leaning my right arm on a low stool using the cloth to provide as much concealment as possible. A handsome young painter sat behind me on a beautiful Turkish rug. He was also in Arabian garments, and near him sat a veiled Turkish maiden. She was playing ivy. Her tendrils were all over him. I knew the Turkish girl, had brought her to the court ballrooms myself. She was a sister of the Red Cross, and for 8 years had scarcely left the hospital where she worked as a nurse. But tonight, she was drinking with lust and enthusiasm. She herself had captured the handsome little painter who so heartily laughed and drank one glass of Pommery after another. She stroked his hair with her fine long hands and almost scorched him with her big brown smoldering eyes. But she didn't allow him to lift her veil. Only her eyes were free for him to see. She would raise the veil again and again, pressing her lips quickly on his, but he could never see her face in the dim light of the Persian lamps. She climbed like ivy all over him, almost suffocating him with her kisses and embraces. The vain little painter let his smile show his pleasure. She was so starved for love, my poor Turkish maiden from the Red Cross. Well, this night of kissing must satisfy her and make up for years. I played wall, concealing the two as well as I could. I sat with crossed legs on my pillow, lit one cigarette after another, and drank my wine. When the kissing behind me got too loud, I rocked my head back and forth and sang my little proverb. And drowned them out a little. It all collapsed suddenly when a gentleman in a dress suit sitting in back of the room called my name. I looked up. "Oh, finally," he said hastily. "Could I please have a moment of your time? I would like your curve." "Gladly," I said. "Won't you sit down?" I pulled a pillow out for him, and the gentleman in the dress suit sat crouched with me on the floor. I had him sit with his broad back so that he could play wall as well and assist the Turkish maiden in her game of ivy. I poured him a glass. Prosit, he said. Excuse me. To your health. He raised his glass shoulder high, bowed forward, touched his glass to mine, and looked at me. Then he moved it to his mouth and emptied it. He continued, permit me to introduce myself. I'm Dr. Hauer, or more correctly, Assistant Judge Hauer. The day before yesterday, I passed my assistant judge exam. My congratulations, assistant judge, I said. He laughed. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I submitted my papers, and it only needs to be finalized by my old superior. Still, that's not what I wanted to talk about. I collect curves. It is my life's work. An excellent life's work, I confirmed. A highly meritorious life's work. I had no idea what he was talking about. I only wanted to keep the conversation flowing for the love of humanity, and so the love-starved, ivy-playing maiden behind us could gain a quarter of an hour. So she could kiss her little friend to her heart's content. So, you collect curves. How many do you have already? 732 individual curves, the assistant judge replied proudly. Of these, a half a dozen are truly remarkable, noteworthy, and collectible curves. I believe that my collection is one of the best in the world. Doubtless, I growled, and you will certainly collect still more of them. Still more, he laughed, most certainly. Still 1,000 times as many. I am now very free, sir. I have wealth enough and can devote all of my time to this great pursuit. It is a great task, but I will succeed. I will never marry. My wife is the curve. A most enchanting wife, I nodded. We must toast to Mrs. Curve. Only I advise you not to bring her back to Prague. We drank. Then he gave me a piece of paper and a pencil. Please, your curve, he repeated. I knew that you would be here tonight. It's the only reason I came here. I've been sitting behind you for an hour already, and didn't want to disturb you. By the way, I was very lucky today. I met Max Liebman and Frank Wedekind here today. Already I've gotten 8 very interesting curves, genuinely famous names. He held some sheets of paper out to me. Each one had a wavy line penciled on it and a name printed underneath. I thought, I can do this for the assistant judge. So I took the pencil, made a wavy line on the sheet of paper and gave it back to him. It looked like this. It's just some squiggly line there. 20 marks, please, I said, and held out my hand. 20 marks? The assistant judge looked very astounded. I've never paid anything for a curve. You haven't? I looked just as astounded. Really? You haven't? You yourself were just telling me how valuable your curve collection was. I'm sorry, but I can't give you my curve for less than 20 marks. The assistant judge gave me a gold piece. I threw it to the barkeeper. He immediately disappeared through the door and returned with a bottle of Alea. The curve collector was absorbed in his new treasure. Magnificent, he murmured, extremely instructive. Yours reminds me very much of the curve of Soray, the dancer. So you also begin with an 8. Naturally, I nodded. Why shouldn't I begin with it? With an 8 or an 80, what difference would it make? It was all the same to me. Now this sequence, 2, 6, 1, is very curious, he continued. And compared my curve to the others. Lieberman has a 2, 1, and 6 at the end. I said, That's not bad either. 216. Also very magnificent and noteworthy. The assistant judge stuck the papers in his briefcase. Believe me, he sighed, I wish to heaven that I knew what Beethoven would say if I brought him this collection of curves. I had slowly become curious, and now I wanted to know the real reason the assistant judge was collecting curves. But I couldn't ask. Couldn't let him know that I had only sold him a wavy line for 20 marks. I answered, Beethoven would certainly be extremely overjoyed. I don't believe that he himself ever had such a beautiful collection of curves. Did Beethoven have a curve collection, he asked. I've never heard of it. I haven't either, I answered back. But why shouldn't he have had one? Really, the assistant judge said wistfully, I wonder if he ever made a curve of his symphonies. The curves of this enraptured collector somehow had something to do with Beethoven and his symphonies. I resolved to get to the bottom of this mystery under all circumstances. Do you by any chance have part of your curve collection in there? I asked harmlessly. Obligingly, he pulled out his briefcase. I have none with me, but I can quickly show you one. He scribbled on a piece of paper. Here, this is the average curve of District Court 2 in Berlin. It is the average of all the judges, public prosecutors, attorneys, assistant judges, and justices of the peace. Extremely interesting, isn't it? A stroke of brilliance, I said. A very intelligent curve, genuinely judicial. Judicial, the assistant judge mused. Yes, it is somewhat judicial. I contemplated the paper. A light went on. Perhaps the numbers belong to the 9 symphonies of Beethoven. I should say there's a piece of paper with 9 horizontal lines, one on top of the other. And it goes 1 through 9. And then the curve or the scribble is on top of those lines. I contemplated the paper. A light went on. Perhaps the numbers belong to the 9 symphonies of Beethoven. The honorable jurists begin with a 1, I said somewhat uncertainly. Yes, confirmed the assistant judge. They are inclined to the 1st symphony, the most and the least to the 5th symphony. Think about that. The 5th. Remarkable, isn't it? Judicial even, I replied. I now understood his idea. The curve signified a graphical representation of how an individual or entire group of people ranked the symphonies of Beethoven. Those that most love joy will begin their curve with the Eroica, the F major, or the Pastoral. The curve will climb, sink, and again rise, and the end will mark those least enjoyed. What else do you have in your curve collection, Sir Assistant Judge? I asked. Oh, I have the average curve of the current Heidelberg student body. More distant, the 1902 Student Corps delegation to Bad Gossen. Each time, it is a lot of work to take every single curve individually and then calculate the average of hundreds. But I do it all gladly. I want to create a cultural value. A cultural value of the highest degree, I cried enthusiastically. Just think, Sir Assistant Judge, of the possibilities this can open up for you. This year, you can travel to all the German universities, take the curves of all the students, then you can calculate the average curve of the Gossen delegates for 1903. If you do this every year, I am convinced that the fluctuations in the average curves will provide extraordinarily important information. An excellent idea, the assistant judge cried. I will do it. And then do the same for all of German society. Just think, the German social curve for 1904, for 1905, Beethoven and the behavior of our times, you'll be able to determine which symphony's influence is stronger on the general population, on the intellectuals, the lawmakers, the jurists. Do you really believe there is an influence? He asked. Without a doubt, I cried in honest conviction. My words came out in a flood. I was carried away by the assistant judge's beautiful idea. You must not stop with that, dear sir. You have to organize polls, set up an office, calculate the Metal Workers Union, the Bavarian Farmers League, the Berlin Streetcar Operators. Oh, you will find assistance. Such great ideas deserve and always find support. You can petition the Imperial Parliament, the upper house of the West German Parliament. Have it included in the next census. Have each person draw their own curve to find out how they are influenced by the symphonies of Beethoven. Think about it, sir. Think about it. An average curve for the entire German Reich. The assistant judge's eyes glowed. I waved my arms around in the air and continued. But your prospects are still not exhausted, even with all that, sir. You can write a brochure and have it translated into all the languages of the world. Your idea would not only open a path in Germany, but seize all the countries of the world. Each census would divide and record the average curve for each country. You could then have the average curve of the English, the French, the Russian, and the Chinese. Yes, in time, you could even have the average curve of the entire world. Just think what wonderful special curves you could calculate out of such marvelous statistical material. For example, the curve of everyone over 80 years old living in New Guinea. The special curve of the Association of Oyster Merchants in New York. Dear God, what highlights, what opportunities. The subject has so many interesting possibilities. You could compare the influence of Beethoven's symphonies to the occupation of oyster merchants as an occupation or as individuals. Or you could explain the remarkable concurrence between the average curve of Venezuelan midwives to the curve of Prussian guard officers. Or determine if the average curve of Russian female civil servants shows the same preference for the D minor symphony as the inmates at the federal penitentiary in Sing Sing, New York, or La Roquette, Paris, or Moabit, Berlin. It is doctoral work, dear sir, doctoral work. The assistant judge quietly shook my hand. Two fat tears crept over his red cheeks and moistened his beautifully curled mustache. Thank you, he sobbed. Thank you so much. You understand my passion. A golden future lies before me. The entire earth belongs to me and my curve. Only the earth, I cried. You don't believe in heaven? You? A Royal Prussian assistant judge? I say to you, there is a heaven and you will go there. As certain as your great idea will conquer the earth, it will also conquer heaven. In heaven you can get the curves of Shakespeare, Goethe, Bismarck, Dante, Napoleon, Cervantes, old Fritz himself, and the divine Rosa Freien of Arreton would record hers. You could take the average curve of the 31 Egyptian dynasties and all the workers of the Tower of Babel, the average curve of the Hohenstaufens, the Stuarts, the Barmidicans, also the average curve of the celestial spheres. Visit Mars, then Saturn, the Great Bear, and the Little Bear. You could hollow out an entire star and use its interior as a colossal curve archive. You must go, sir. You are a great man, and I hate all great men because I envy them. The assistant judge stood up, wiped the tears from his eyes. He quietly shook my hand and then left. I turned my head a little and squinted at the Turkish maiden. Oh, yes, she had played curve today as well, the living image of a curve. She had begun with the Ninth Symphony choral and had transitioned to the Eroica, had courageously conquered her Red Cross shyness and boldly subdued the handsome little painter. He now lay stretched out on the carpet, fast asleep, with his head in her lap. The Turkish maiden's long, fine hands glided again and again through his blonde locks, and she sang to him, very lightly, a lullaby, the Sixth Symphony, Pastoral. End of that story. Kind of a strange sense of humor, but kind of fun, all in good fun. That's what these stories are, all in good fun. Till next week, thank you.